This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 191. This is the final movie of the lot. Spider-Man No Way Home from 2021. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, Nate, this is it. I mean, we did the final Spider-Man watch through. To be honest with you, I enjoyed it, but we'll give the final thoughts at the final, you know, when we do our final thoughts of the entire franchise at the end of this review. So with that said, Nate, how long has it been since you've seen No Way Home?
The theater. Oh, saw it at the theater twice. So that would have been December of last year. Then I bought it and I did not watch it when I bought it. So you know me, I don't like to watch movies too close together. If I go to the theater twice, that's an exception. But once I own a movie, I usually don't put it in right away. And sometimes I wait years. So it's been 10 months or so since I've watched it.
Question, did you see it in the theater when they re-released it with the extra footage?
I did not. But one of my friends did and said, totally not worth it. The 12 extra minutes or whatever are pretty much, you won't know what it is. Yeah, it's like talking dialogue scenes. And so it's like, okay, doesn't add to the story, he said.
Yeah. The first time I watched this was whenever this was released digitally or whatever. Mm. That's when I picked it up digital. So I'm going to be really honest with everyone. This might be one of those flippity flops episode. Nate might like it a lot where I'm very torn with this movie, but the second rewatch on this, it's going to be very interesting to sit down. Very interesting. So with that said, Nate, what did the audience and the critics have to say about Spider-Man No Way Home?
Man, this thing, let me tell you something. These Spider-Man movies, for the most part, they have really high scores, especially the MCU ones and especially those first two Tobey Maguire ones. Mm. And this one is no different. This thing has a 93% critic score and a 98% audience score. So extremely well reviewed, made a ton of money. I mean, this still came out at the tail end of the, you know, pandemic, but it was the first super duper mega blockbuster back in theaters. Now there's been two, right? Because Top Gun Maverick, but this was the one that was like it well over $1 billion. What made it? I don't even know if it crossed $2 billion, but it was close, I believe.
I think it did.
So, yeah, it might. I don't know. Well received, made a ton of money, very popular.
Yeah, look, 93% critics. I mean, very shocking. Ooh, Marvel, you knew that was going to be high,
right?
But exactly. Critic, I always fall with the audience in this department because the audience is more. I feel more authentic. To the experience where the critics, So 98 is really not bad. That's two away from the 100, the big time being 100. So actually, I'm not even shocked at all. A lot of nostalgia, a lot of characters come back, but we're going to talk about that in a review. So let's get right to it because this is why you guys are listening to us and watching us, whether you're watching us on YouTube. So with that said, check it out. Lead character, Tom Holland, back as Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire. But I know Nate's going to bring that up a little later. So with that said, Nate.
Yeah, I'm going to save them for story. This is really still Tom Holland's movie. I think one thing they did a good job of, honestly, is making sure it's still Tom Holland's movie when you have these other guys in it. Now, Tom Holland, I've given him 2 fives to this point. I'm not going to stop that now. I think this has been a great progression for him as Spider-Man, his three movies. You know, the first movie was super, you know, very, very Peter Parker, high school, all that kind of stuff. The second movie was still that, but they added the love interest, right? He started with, well, he kind of had one in the first movie, but this one with MJ and things like that. And now this time they're a couple and now they threw in even more wrinkles and a lot of stuff that affects him. You have, of course, the death of Aunt May in this film, which, you know, there was no Uncle Ben in any of his movies. So, you know, for him to have to deal with that, the other two Spider-Man had to deal with it. He gets the same treatment here and you see how it affects him. And I thought it was a really good scene, honestly. I thought her death scene was really good. By that, I mean, I think his performance in the scene was really good. You know, you could feel it. He did a great job. I think his performance in general was great. The only thing there's some choices he makes in this movie that bothered me a little bit. You know, I understand. You know, in the end, and this kind of goes to storyline, in the end, it does kind of work out the way they wanted. But honestly, if he just listened to Doctor Strange and just sent them back, like, hey, look, they're not supposed to be here. This is messing up everything. You got to send them back. Not worry about what happens to them when they go there. His aunt doesn't die and a lot of things don't happen. You know what I mean? On top of that, he messed up the, you know, that scene with the spell. It is like, why are you, just stop doing, just stop. He's like, stop talking. And he's like, well, what about this guy? What about this guy? And I get it. He's young. He's a kid. But still, those kind of things, they always bug me a little bit, but not enough to change my score. I thought he was great. I thought the character is still extremely well done. It's a great Peter Parker. I gave him a 5.
Yeah, so when it comes to Tom Holland, I also gonna continue. I gave him a 5. He is a great Spider-Man. I mean, he's a perfect Spider-Man. There's nothing with that. I agree with you. I'm just gonna elaborate a little bit. Mm-hmm. There were certain times that I was annoyed with him because I felt like they made him a little bit like too kiddy from like 3 movies in, which was kind of weird. Like, wouldn't you do stuff like this in the first movie? And then he gets older. I felt like he went back into being like a super duper kid. Like, if someone tells you not to interrupt the spell and you just keep yapping, like wouldn't, like,
especially, I just felt like after experiencing everything he's experienced.
Exactly. With the whole thing with Thanos, like, yeah, to me, it just felt kind of weird, that whole situation when he's just like, stop talking. And then he goes, okay, I'll let your friend, I'll let your aunt know that you're still Spider-Man. And all of a sudden he's like, wait, Mary Jane too? Oh, and he's like, Peter, stop talking. And then all of a sudden this whole thing unfolds. And I'm like, I hate movies that implement stuff like that, because then it's like, it's so many more plot holes that gets thrown into the film. Because now it's like, okay, so now every time something big, gigantic happens, Peter Parker, you're already going to know Peter is going to do something stupid as a kid that is going to do something, right? Like Tony Stark said, he did it in Homecoming, right? Mm-hmm. Tony Stark says, leave it to the big guys. What did he do? He took it upon himself. The fairy flipped over, you know, I mean, it ripped apart.
Yeah.
Iron Man came to save the day. Same thing in part 2. He gave him the glasses. And what did he do? He gave him away to a villain, like, with not even looking at the background. He just met the dude for one day, and he was just like, here, you can have him. $1 billion company. He just gave it away like nothing. So for me, it's like his choices, which is kind of weird for me, is kind of like it's always bad. Like, he never has a good choice. Like, he never thinks good.
Yeah.
Could be me. I don't know what you think. But within the 3 movies, his choices have all been shit.
I kind of agree, but I think at this point, he's probably, what, 17, 18? Yeah, and if I plot myself, I don't think I made any good choices.
I understand. But
I do
agree
with you. Yeah, yeah, that's like, what I was saying. His choices irked me a little bit.
It just didn't make sense to me at all. At the end, I was like, oh, wow, he really made a good choice, not telling his friends that he's Spider-Man again, which,
right,
whatever, it is what it is. But I was like, okay.
But he was forced into it.
You know? Yeah, he was. Yeah, yeah. But other than that, I agree. He's a perfect Spider-Man. I mean, from everything, the way his mannerisms is as Peter Parker, all the way up to Spider-Man in the suit, I think he's awesome. I think he works very well. It's sad. Personally, well, we'll talk about it in storyline. But other than that, look, I gave it a 5. You gave it a 5. Now, main villain. I don't know how you want to go with this. There's 5 main villains in this movie.
Yeah.
Across the board.
I took that into account. Yeah, I took into account everyone. Yeah. I ended up, and Green Goblin, to me, he's the final villain. So I guess he's kind of the main one. Because at the end of the day, they were all going to be fixed or whatever. And he's the one who screwed it all up, because he was the one who was faking going along with it the whole time. He's the last one that's fighting. So he's pretty much the main villain. Now, the funny thing is, he's already been the main villain of a Spider-Man movie, and he was amazing in the first Spider-Man. And I honestly, for me, they did not lose a step. Willem Dafoe is just great, period. I still loved him. I thought he did a great job of reprising that role and nailing it. I love the whole time where he's faking, you know, like, oh, he genuinely wants to help. And then Spider-Man end up, the spider sense ends up telling him, whoa, 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 something's up with this guy. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, something ain't right. Now, I think bringing the villains back was cool. The lizard is useless. He wasn't useless in The Amazing Spider-Man, but he was I put him at the lower end anyway. So he was still at the lower end of this movie. But I think they knew that because he's not featured much. So they're like, well, he's here. Sandman doesn't do much in this movie. He also kind of helps him. He just wants to go home the whole time. You know, he's like, I just want to go see my daughter. Get me out of here. Which, my only gripe with the villains is, then why the hell is he fighting the Spider-Mans at the end if he just wants to go home? Like, why is he all of a sudden pure villain? It's the only, as far as the villains go, it's the only thing that bothers me. I thought Jamie Foxx, I liked him as Electro. Now, I have questions. I have a lot of questions in this movie. I'll save them for storyline. But I thought the performance, the newer kind of updated performance, I enjoyed. And Alfred Molina, I thought, was great. I think the Toby villains were still great, and the Garfield villains were, like, they were good. Well, Jamie Foxx was good. Lizard was there. I give him a 5. I give him 5, and that's mostly because Willem Dafoe still is a boss as Green Goblin. He really is. He causes a lot of destruction. He kills Aunt May, so there's that. You know what I mean? Like, he did the thing. I thought he was great. I wish he was in it a little more, but then again, it's a lot of screen time to pass around. So as a whole, plus him as the main, I give it a 5.
All right, so I did mine as all together, all 5. Yeah. I gave it a 3.
Okay.
Honestly, I think 5 characters was way too much. I mean, I understand Green Goblin was the main one doing everything. Rightfully so, because he was the first one in the whole Tobey Maguire one. But I just felt like because of having the other cast, the other villains, it took away more of the movie because if it was all Green Goblin is the one that came out of the multiverse, I would have said, oh, yeah. Like, I would have been like, you know what? We could have got way more destruction, way more better crap, because then you could have had more scenes with him playing the good guy and the bad guy, right? Even if, let's say you even want to do, let's do Doc Ock and Green Goblin. You tell me that wouldn't have been a perfect duel? Him trying to put the chip, he finally puts the chip and he's doing all this stuff and Green Goblin's like, you know what? I can't do this. He just like, you know, he just flips out. Like, he goes, no way. Like, this is not happening. So, like, I would have preferred that. I just think it's way. First of all, you're right. The lizard was a piece of crap. He was in a truck the whole time when they were getting fixed upstairs.
Right.
And he goes, here we go. That's all he did. I was like, oh boy. He was useless. So the guy got a paycheck just to show his ass at the end of the movie. I didn't like the Sandman in this. He was cool at first when he came out and protected him.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool. Jamie Foxx's character, I will say I loved his redesign. That should have been the design that he should have got in The Amazing Spider-Man.
100% agree.
Yeah, he should have just got that. I do like when he took the art reactor and it boosted his ass up. I was like, okay, this is pretty cool. But honestly, other than that, Willem Dafoe did steal the show. And I like Doc Ock. He's a great actor and he was pretty cool in this. I felt like it was a video game when Doc Ock appeared because they had that chemistry. And what was really cool, though, that I really enjoyed was that Tom Holland's chemistry with all of the villains that he never got on screen with ever before was top notch, man. I was like, you know what? This was actually really good. When he first, you know, when Doc Ock first appeared and puts him on the wall, he was like, wait. he's like, you're not my Peter Parker. He's like, I am Peter Parker. Like, I liked that whole sequence. It was actually really cool. But I Green Goblin did steal the show. I love the fight scene Green Goblin and Spider-Man in the building.
Yeah.
He whooped that kid's ass and I loved it. I said, you know what? This is cool. But again, as Green Goblin, I would have gave it a 5 across the board. But as a whole unit, I gave it a 3. It was just it is what it is. Okay, action scenes.
Well, I've given pretty much the same score for these first two. And I'm going to give the same one again. I give it a 4. Look, Spider-Man's cool. He's not my favorite. He's never been my favorite, like, Marvel character. His style of action can be really good. The problem is he doesn't get to do much, like, hand-to-hand fighting. There's a lot of swinging, throwing, tossing, you know what I mean? Like, flipping. I would love to see Spider-Man, like, really throw down. That's why the Green Goblin fight in this is, like, the best one. Because that's kind of what it is. That being said, that fight is really good. That whole building scene is really good. The Statue of Liberty scene's okay. Honestly, I think it's just okay. I don't think it's amazing. I think it is cool to see all three of them, you know, interacting, like having three Spider-Men flying around. Sure, it's a cool visual, but there's not a single action moment in this where I was like, oh, you know, like that was awesome. I'll give you an example. This is just, we haven't reviewed this movie or anything like that, but something like Thor Ragnarok. The moment at the, like, towards the end of that, when he gets the lightning power and he uses the lightning power and Hulk is fighting the wolf and this guy's fighting and Loki and it's intercutting, like, that's an action scene where you go, holy crap, this is awesome. And this movie doesn't have any of those moments to me. You know what I mean? And that's the kind of stuff I score comic book movies on, because the action scenes in comic movies is so CGI heavy. It's just CGI things flying around screens. So it has to have some sort of moment that makes me kind of perk up and be like, that was awesome. I love that. None of these Spider-Man movies have that. The action is well shot. It's well executed. This one, it seems like there's not a lot. I don't know if you feel the same way. I feel like there's less action in this one than even in the last one. Like those fake fights with Mysterio, I think totaled more time than, unless you count the Steven, you know, the Doctor Strange and him in the mirror world, you know, but that is just like cool visuals? Is it like really great action? No, not in my opinion. I still give it a 4. I think it's good, but yeah, none of these Spider-Man movies put me over the top, to be honest.
I agree with you. I didn't give it a 5. I went 4.5 on this. Yeah. And the reason why I went 4.5 is because I agree. I didn't feel there was much like any, because I gave 5s across the board. I mean, on Homecoming, I gave it a 5. I believe I did. And I gave it also on the, I don't think I gave it in the last one. But this one, I'm not going to give it because honestly, the 3 Spider-Man scenes was just them chasing each other. Like they were chasing and running up and down and swinging. Like there was not actual fights, much fights. Right. So I can't give it on that. The building scenes with Willem Dafoe was amazing. I was like, this was awesome. The scene with him and Electro was no fight. They were swinging all over the place. I didn't feel like they fought each other. And he pulled the plug. So
he's short.
Yeah, I don't feel like this had a fight. Oh, and then him and Green Goblin at the end when he was about to stab him and he stabs the other Spider-Man.
Right.
Toby. So hand-to-hand wise, no action. There's not much action. But there's enough action for people to go, wow, him swinging and him doing all the, you know, the fluff action to get people all wound up. This movie, to me, is not more about the action. I think it's more about, whoa, we got the 3 Spider-Mans on screen, man. Like, that's cool. And all the villains are together. And that's cool. The Doctor Strange versus Spider-Man was cool. But I felt, this is what got me a little annoyed. Okay. The guy is like the master wizard, right? He's like a sorcerer or whatever. He's like, oh shit, this dude is crazy. He's doing all this. Then, right? He's like, well, this is crazy. But Spider-Man beats him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how does this work? Like, this dude can manipulate anything. And I don't want people to give me the whole like, oh, but he had spider sense and he could tingle and he's a super genius. No, it doesn't work like this. This dude fought one of the high powerful sorcerers in one of the other movies, went toe to toe. This high schooler, like, I could get that he was holding back maybe, but if you're really
figured out his geometry, he used math.
Yeah. Like, you know? 2 seconds though.
You see, he's supposed to be very, very smart. But
I guess, but I just felt like it was. That,
I agree with you, and I thought the same thing the first time I watched it. But then afterward, I saw this quote, the Stan Lee quote. Maybe you saw it too, where they were talking about like, if you're writing a comic book, how do you determine who wins the fight? You know, like you got this guy, and everyone says he's too powerful, he can't lose. But really, at the end of the day, when you're writing the comic, the writer just decides who wins. Period. It doesn't matter. They're both superheroes. They're both, and so for the story to progress, Spider-Man had to get out of there, and there was no other way than for him to kind of win. So I now chalk things up like that in Marvel movies. This is not across the board. I don't apply this to like other franchises. But for Marvel, it's like, okay, if you tell me he can figure it out, he can figure it out. Whatever.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, now that you told me the damn quote, now you just took it away from me. So yes, thanks for destroying my bubble.
That's Stan Lee. No, I mean, he's the creator. Yeah, you know?
I'm okay with it, but you understood when I was coming from, though.
100%, because I felt the same way. I'm like, really? This guy's the master of this dimension, and this kid goes, oh, that's some kind of diagram, and he goes, blah, 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 and then he wins. And I didn't love it the first time. I saw that quote, and I was like, okay, I can go with this. Fine.
Yeah.
I'll just accept it. I still don't love it, but I accept it.
Look, in terms of the action, I thought everything was the octopus versus Spider-Man, I thought was cool. I'm not going to lie. I thought that was pretty cool. Other than that, look, 4.5. Okay. You gave it a 4.
Yes.
Storyline.
Okay. So here's where I like the story. I think it's good. It's very ambitious. There's a lot. There's a lot going on in this movie. You have a lot of character interactions. There's, you know, there's some funny stuff in this, you know, there's humor like all the other movies. One thing that I did like too, as far as like a little, I guess not an Easter egg, or if you're big into comics, it's not. But if you're not and you just watch these movies, I love the scene where Ned is talking with them. And he's like, do you have a best friend? And he's like, yeah, he died in my arms. You know, he's talking about Harry and all that stuff. And then he goes up to him and he's like, I promise you, I'll never turn into an evil villain and try to kill you. And the funny thing is that Ned, that character in the Spider-Man comics, becomes Hobgoblin. So I don't know if they're going to go that. Yeah. I don't know if they're going to go that route, but I feel like it was an Easter egg. You know, like, I'll never become a villain and try to, because he does in the comic books become a villain. Maybe this version of him doesn't.
I do when Andrew Garfield went and he get him in the back.
That was funny.
That was cool.
So as far as storyline issues, here's mine. And I think this rewatch answered some of it and did not answer some of it. And my number one issue was what determined who came and why. Now Dr. Strange explains everyone who knows that Peter Parker is Spider-Man, you know, that's who came through, right? Now, okay, so those 5 villains But Gwen Stacy knew, MJ knew, both Aunt May's knew.
Vulture.
Well, he's already in the Tom Holland, so he can't show up. He's already in that.
Yeah,
universe.
But it could have been the Vulture from that parallel universe.
So, if that Vulture knew him in the parallel universe, that's the thing. So I get it, but it's not everyone. Then right. I did see that he, you know, you have to consider, okay, he contained the spell, so they all didn't get through. Okay, I could accept that. That's fine. Now, of course, Peter Parker himself, why is he there? Because is the logic that he knows he's Spider-Man? Because that's stupid. Why did he show up if it's just supposed to be people who know he's Spider-Man? I guess that's the logic because he knows he's himself. The two Peter Parkers that show up.
No, they didn't show up. Yes. Ned opened a portal because he said.
So here's what you got to remember. When Ned opened the portal, Andrew Garfield Spider-Man says, I all of a sudden appeared in this alley and I wasn't in my world. The portal that Ned opened just got him from the streets into the house. He was in the Tom Holland universe already. So was Toby. And they're like, we don't know how we got here either. So the portal, he says, show me Peter. And then it's that. So that's why. But it's weird. It doesn't matter. If you don't think about it too much, it's not a big deal. My only other gripe was, and this has to do with Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, which I know we're not reviewing, but it still bothers me. Why do all these other Peter Parkers look different, but every single Doctor Strange looks exactly the same in all the other multiverses? It's all Benedict Cumberbatch. That Christine, his love interest, is all Rachel McAdams. Professor X is still Patrick Stewart. You know what I mean? Like, why do they all look the same and he looks different? So I Googled it because I was like, I need to know. Nobody knows. Everyone just puts theories. Oh, well, there might be some who look like Tom Holland. This was just two of them. I'm like, okay, well, why didn't they show any Doctor Stranges who don't look like Benedict Cumberbatch? Well, because it's too much. The precedent should be that they all look different because the multiverse was introduced in Loki and all the Lokis look different if you watch that show. One's an alligator. One's a black guy, one's an old man, one's a little kid. You didn't watch Loki, right?
No.
Okay, so in Loki, he meets other Lokis, and none of them look the same. None of them look like... So in this movie, that makes sense to me, why their Peters are different. Multiverse of Madness ruins it because all the Wandas look the same, all the Doctor Stranges look the same, so it's weird. It bothers me. It makes me knock the score down a little bit in the story because it's not... None of it's really explained that well, in my opinion, in this movie. Besides that, I just think that they could have, like you said, some people get the short end of the stick here. I know that's why they didn't add Gwen. I know that's why they didn't. It's too much because then it becomes a movie about those Peter Parkers and not this Peter Parker. So I'm okay with that. As such, I gave the story a 4. I still think it's really strong. I just think there's a couple of elements I don't totally love. And I just think there's a lot of, you could ask a lot of questions in this movie and not really get proper answers, which I'm not a huge fan of that. I don't need to know everything, but this is not some, you know, David Lynch film. It's a comic book movie. So at least I should know most of it. You know what I mean? So I give it a 4.
Yeah. When it comes to this movie, one thing I always hate is time travel movies. Mm-hmm. I tell everybody, I hate it because it never, ever comes. It's rare that a movie has a good time. Like it makes sense at the end of the movie. You go, wow, this is cool. When they open up multiverses, it gets very annoying. Because then it's like, okay, what is going to happen and how is it going to happen? Watching this movie when I first saw it and now on the rewatch, 5 characters was way too much. And I'm not talking about let's do some Bill and Ted shit that, you know, a little thing opens and one guy pops out. Like, it would have been cool, but no. I understand that they wanted to make it into this big thing because this is like his third movie and they wanted to introduce all these characters. My only problem is that you introduce all these characters and then it goes back to just Spider-Man. Like it didn't, to me, there was no resolve. They didn't, what the hell did they resolve? Nothing. They all became good because they all, you know, they took away their bad side. You know what I mean? Andrew Garfield's character, he feels, you know, satisfied because he saved that MJ where he couldn't save Gwen Stacy.
I like that scene.
No, I'm not saying it's a bad scene. I think it was a great scene because I felt emotional. I was like, man, it's actually pretty cool.
Right.
But what I'm trying to say is like you introduce like multiple characters for one dude, like one thing. And that's where I'm like, this doesn't open up nothing for me. Like, because what I found out today watching the second movie is basically you erased the entire Spider-Man from the MCU because Sony's taking back the character. So now you can't continue going on with Spider-Man and Avengers because no one knows him no more. The spell is he's erased from the world. So there is no Spider-Man in the MCU more. That's what I got from it.
No, there is still a Spider-Man. Nobody knows he's Peter Parker. Because if you remember at the end, Jonah Jameson is like, Spider-Man should show his face, blah, 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 blah. So they know Spider-Man exists. No one remembers that Peter Parker is Spider-Man, which is why
but
he has to take the GED because he doesn't exist. Peter Parker doesn't exist.
No, but But what I mean is like Jonah, the guy who played Jonah Jameson came from the Sony studios. Right. It's not like he was an MCU hire. That's what I mean. Like him showing up in the next Avengers movie, I can't see. I just feel like this was just a total erased. Like, let's just erase him just in case Sony goes, we're not, you're not allowed to use him anymore. That's just my theory. I don't know. It just felt kind of weird that on the third movie where you're going to think he's going to be the highlight of the Avenger movies, you're going to erase him from now. Happy doesn't know who he is. Vision doesn't know who he is. Thor, Hulk, everyone that he came in contact and helped in those Avenger movies do not know he's Spider-Man. So it's like, again, what was the point in introducing him into those movies if you're going to do a storyline that erases him from history going forward? You understand what I mean? Like phase 5, 6, 7. So that was my only problem with this movie, because I was just like, you know, it's cute. They brought all the Spider-Mans. I thought it was cool. They were on screen. It didn't do nothing much for me, except I like Andrew Garfield more. I was like, I mean, we talked about it on this watch through. I think he's the best one within the Tobey Maguire and him. And he still was the best one in this one. I like his interaction, but I just didn't, I don't know. The storyline for me didn't click. It was a lot of plot holes. I was just like, oh my God, like really? Like why didn't MJ come through and have the MJ meet this MJ? And you know, and you're right. My only thing is the only reason why they didn't bring the other Peter Parkers is because everyone wanted to see Andrew Garfield and everyone wanted to see Tobey Maguire from those multiverse movies. I think if you wanted to go a little bit crazy and show off people, my man Morales should have come out and helped.
Well, they
my
had the, man yeah, they Miles had a little Morales. Joke, right?
Yeah,
where,
they did
the Black where, Spider-Man. David Fox is like, oh, I think he's there's a Black Spider-Man out there somewhere. And it's like, yeah, there is. Now, one thing I have a question, because the credit scene also throws a wrench, which is why I gave it a 4. You Tom Hardy as Venom, as Eddie Brock, sitting at a bar in Mexico, and this guy's telling him all about, you know, Thanos and all this stuff, right? Now, he's never heard of Spider-Man. Which means, what the hell universe is his movie set in? Because he doesn't know who Spider-Man is at all. Nope. Not just Peter Parker, Spider-Man. I could have sworn in one of the Venom movies, there was some reference to Spider-Man.
Could have been a newspaper.
I think it was. Which means, if it's in a newspaper and this guy's a reporter, he should have heard should of know. Spider-Man. You know what I mean? So that's another one where that's like a plot hole to me. Or if it's not a plot hole, no, that's a plot hole. If there is a newspaper that shows Spider-Man in a Venom movie, then Venom should know. Now, if he's from a fourth universe that doesn't have a Spider-Man, then that's another story. That could be where they introduce Miles Morales, because it doesn't, it's not Peter Parker, clearly. I don't know. I just had questions after. I was like, well, then, and he left a piece of the symbiote there, which I think will make a Venom in this
timeline
universe. Yeah. But I don't know. It bugged me. Because I wanted to see Tom Hardy against him.
I did want to see that. Maybe you do with that symbiote touches Tom Harding from that timeline. If it's the same Tom actors.
Hardy. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, same. He's all down and love.
Confusing.
You doing, man? You doing, my man? And all said,
I like Tom Hardy.
Hello, Eddie. How you doing, Eddie?
Will that Venom be, like, serious? Or will it still be goofy because it's a piece of the other Venom? I don't know.
We really don't know. But we'll honestly, know. To be really honest with you, I just feel like this felt more like Endgame to me also. I just ended going, oh, God. Like,
what'd
really?
You give the score? Like, what was the score?
The score for this, I gave it a 3 for storyline. Your overall.
Overall, I love this movie, though. I did love it. I had a great time with it. I thought it was awesome to see the Spider-Man. I think they took a shot. And it mostly worked, right? Like, for using a baseball analogy, they didn't, to me, I wouldn't say it was a home run, but it was definitely like an inside the park home run. You know what I mean? They had to run around the bases really hard, but they didn't crush this thing out of the ballpark, because there's just a lot of questions. Like I said, too many villain characters. I think if they would have taken 3, let's say Jamie Foxx, Doc Ock, and Green Goblin, you could have the same exact storyline. The same storyline. Sandman wasn't needed. Lizard was not needed. So just those 3 would have been even better, fantastic. I think.
Yeah.
But a lot of emotion, the Aunt May scene. I love the Andrew Garfield scene where he saves MJ from falling. His acting is so good. His face, you could tell he was just like so happy that he was able to kind of make up for what he couldn't do with Gwen. I love that scene. I thought that was a really good callback, to be honest. I thought it was fun. I thought it was funny. I like the ending. I like that no one knows who he is, because now he doesn't, he is still Spider-Man. I love the suit at the end too, the way he goes back to like the old, like his old sewn up suit, and that blue, like it looks really
popping
cool.
Blue.
Yeah, it looked really cool. So I like that, but he doesn't have any of the Stark stuff anymore because they don't know that he's, you know, who can give it to him? Not Happy, not nobody. They don't know he's Spider-Man. So I do like what it opens up personally, because now he's totally anonymous, He has to now reconnect with people. And this is why I actually stick by my theory that the friend is going to turn into a villain, because he doesn't even remember that his best friend is Peter Parker. And watch, maybe they'll do it.
That would be pretty cool.
4.5. I give it a 4.5.
You know, to be really honest. Oh, and then where's Pepper Potts? They never showed Pepper Potts in this movie, right?
Nope. She's not in
this movie. Should own. She owns Stark Industries, so there's no way that's all, you know.
I am glad that Tony Stark wasn't why the villains were mad for once. At least they just hate Spider-Man now.
it's all the newer villains. These are all the old villains.
Great. Well, at least they hate Spider-Man. Yeah. None of them hate Tony Stark. They don't even know who he is.
That's true. They all did hate Spider-Man from those other universes. Mm-hmm. They all went at it. But, you know, to be really honest with you, look, overall, I gave it a 3. For me, it was entertaining.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny. I would give this score even to, like, Avengers Endgame if I rewatch it again. It would be a 3 because I'm not sold on multiverses and time travel crap.
Right.
Because I feel like they're not done well. And I want a lot of people to understand, there are materials out there, source material, that the timeline and multiverses are, like, the shit. Like, you read it, you go, oh, like, the Flash Paradox is like one of the best stories I enjoyed reading.
Yeah.
But does it translate well to live action? That's the question. We really don't know with the Flash movie, but you understand what I'm saying though, right? Like when they just convert it, you're going, oh boy, this is not a good, you know, this doesn't work well. So with that said, they tried it, like you said. Did it work for me? I'm not big Spider-Man, so I'm not going, I don't go crazy going, oh my God, 3 Spider-Mans on the stage. Now, if you would have gave me a Batman movie and you got Robert Pattinson, Ben Affleck, Val Kilmer, George Clooney, and then Michael Keaton. Yeah, and they all help each other. Yeah. Oh, well, he did. But yeah, and Adam West shows
CGI.
Up. CGI Adam West.
Yeah.
Yes. No, but that would be pretty cool. You know what I mean? Like they all like run to the signal and they all of them just fly in and go, who the hell are you? But it would be so hilarious. But look, other than that, Nate, what's your total points?
Total points for me comes out to a 22.5. 22.5 out of 25. I think this is great. I think I had a lot of fun rewatching it. Now I won't watch it again for like 5 years probably, but because I've seen it 3 times in 1 year, that's too many times for me. But I did like it. I thought it was great. Good time. 22.5.
Yeah, I gave it an 18.5. I think this is an enjoyable movie. It's an excellent film. I can see why a lot of Spider-Man fans out there enjoyed this movie. For myself, it's going to be a long-ass time when I watch this type of movie. But I can say I could pop it on again way more than the other ones to enjoy it. So before we wrap this up, Nate, we finished the Spider-Man watch through, okay? So far, what did you think of it?
I thought it was great. 8 movies. This, like I said, this flew by way faster than our 7 Roger Moore Bond movies. I felt like we were watching those for 3 years, and these, they flew right by 8 weeks. Could honestly say, I think out of the 8 movies, 5 of them are great. 3 of them are not. I won't say bad or good. They're just 5 are great and 3 are not. And I think each series, the funny thing is, I think each series has a not great one, in my opinion. So, you know, take with that what you will. But I think they're really, really good. I think they do Spider-Man well on screen, to be honest. You know, to have that many out of 8 be good is pretty impressive. And I stick by the fact that I think I agree with you, Andrew Garfield over Tobey Maguire for me. I think he's better. I like him. I like his humor better. I just liked him better. I think Toby is the worst Spider-Man. Don't come at me, everyone. I'm not saying he's a bad Spider-Man. I just think he's not as good as the other two. Therefore, he's in third place for me. Tom Holland, number one, I think, overall.
Yeah, I'm just going to say this pretty quick. In terms of the entire rewatch, I had fun with it, to be honest with you. I enjoy Andrew Garfield a lot. I wish he had another movie, to be really honest with you, to a third one to finish off that trilogy. Tobey Maguire wasn't as bad. Spider-Man 2 is up there. Spider-Man 1 is up there. Then not like 3, but it was an okay, decent movie. It's not really bad like everyone makes it out to be. It's a decent movie. I enjoyed it for what it was. Andrew Garfield, number one, is that is really good. The thing that I liked about the watch through that each franchise had its own style to the movie, and it made it unique to each other. And I think that's what made it better for me. I enjoyed more the Andrew Garfield storylines than the actual Tobey Maguire, but I do enjoy the Tom Holland because he's thrown into that entire mega timeline MCU storyline. So for me, that worked out very well. Other than that, it was like kudos to Sony for giving away the franchise. And I don't want to hear people going, well, under Sony, the movie was doing horrible. I don't think it was. I just think people didn't give it a chance, to be really honest with you, because they were doing great movies between the five movies that they put out. I just think people were just starting to get a little bit nitpicking on the storylines and the characters until, you know, I think what happened was a lot of people saw what Marvel was doing, and they were like, imagine if Marvel got Spider-Man, and what would they do? And they put it in the timeline. Like...
You're probably not wrong.
You understand what I mean?
Exactly that.
Yeah, and I think Sony was like, well, guys, I think it's time for us to end this trilogy and head over to Marvel Studios and see what they could do with our stuff. And it worked, okay? Yeah. But I think Sony had a great run. That's what I'll say. Yeah, so.
I wish Harry was in this movie. That would have been sick.
I wish. Oh my God.
Harry flew out of a purple portal or something.
I would have been like, let's go.
That would have been so sick. Harry was my guy. God. Harry was my guy. All right. What's coming up next? Well, we are moving on with our Liam Neeson month, of course. So our next movie is going to be Unknown from 2011. I think first time watch for you. Only a second time watch for me since 2011. Wow. Look at that. And then, of course, we're starting a new franchise. Now we're getting into some monster movies. We're getting closer to October. So we're getting a little bit of the monsters, and we're starting with Predator. I can't believe this many episodes in, and we're just now getting to Predator. But we're going to be doing the Predator franchise. So part one, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger and his muscles, both. those are going to be our next two episodes.
And his muscles. Other than that, guys, if you want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at NateFlixReviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Netflix Movie Reviews. Anything action movie, guys, head over to youtube.com/geeksandflicks and watch your favorite podcast episodes, the video version of your podcast episodes, or head over to our official website at www.geeksandflicks.com. Join the Patreon. Check out the behind the scenes of making of the podcast, whether it's audio, video versions of that. And of course, we have merchandise. You can buy t-shirts, Action Movie Guys t-shirts, or Action Geeks and Flicks t-shirts there also. Again, www.geeksandflicks.com. Other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and that is
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.